If you have your Bible, you can turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. And being that this is Father's Day, I want us to take a look at the life of a man that we refer to as the father of our faith. The father of our faith. Paul writes this in Romans 4:16. He says, Abraham is the father of all who believe. He is the father of all who believe. And you say, why is that? Well, because we see in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, it says, and Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it him as righteous because of his faith. You see, before there was ever law, there was first faith. Before Moses ever wrote the Ten Commandments, Abraham was living in faith. Abraham wasn't declared righteous because of his action. He was declared righteous because he believed God. He was declared righteous because of his faith. And that faith produced an action inside of him. That faith produced and gave birth to something in his life. We saw the faith on the inside lived out on the outside, and that's exactly the way it should be in all of our lives. We should see on the outside what has taken place on the inside. And the Bible says in the book of James that faith without works is dead. So therefore, if you don't have the right works, then you don't have the right faith on the inside of you. But I want to be a father of faith. I want to be someone that people look at, my children and other people look at, as a man of faith, as a father of faith. And I want to leave a legacy of knowing God, leave a legacy of trusting God, leave a legacy of following after God. I want my faith to impact my actions. I want my faith to impact those people around me. I want people to be able to see transformation in my life. All of my life. I never want to get satisfied with where I am. I constantly want my life to be transforming, to become more and more like our Heavenly Father. And you know what? I believe that everybody in this room wants the same. And I'm speaking to fathers, but I could be speaking to people today, because this is not specific to a father. This is specific to anyone who wants to leave that type of legacy of faith. And I believe that everybody here today, you are here because you want that type of life. And we have said from the very beginning, this is the year of discovery. This is the year of discovery. And we looked at discover what love does. And then we talked about discover transformation and seven key areas of your life. And then we went through a series on discover all in. Well, today we are going to discover this journey of faith, this father of faith. And in Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to start reading in verse 6. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going, and when he had reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child. Though she was barren and was too old, she believed that God would keep his promise. And so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead, a nation with so many people that, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there is no way to count them. This morning, I want to give you very briefly 7 steps for every father of faith. 7 steps for every father of faith. And the very first step is to say yes. To say yes. In verse 8, we read this. It says, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him. You see, the first step on every journey that includes God starts with yes. The beginning of the journey starts with yes. It started with yes for Noah when he had to build the ark. It started with yes for Moses when he had to go back to Egypt and speak to Pharaoh about letting God's people go. Joshua and Caleb said yes to conquering the promised land. The disciples said yes to following after Jesus. You must first say yes to God. God's not going to force you. He simply invites you. God's not going to make you. He simply offers you. And the difference between Zacchaeus and many other tax collectors is simply found in a yes. The story of Zacchaeus is in Luke chapter 19. And the Bible says that he was a chief tax collector, which means he wasn't just a bad dude. He was a really bad dude. He just wasn't ripping a few people off. He was ripping a lot of people off. And so he had a reputation. But he has an encounter with Jesus. And in that encounter, Zacchaeus says yes to the lordship of Jesus Christ. He says yes to the Savior. He says, I'm guilty of sin, and I'm ready to come into relationship with Almighty God. And when he said yes, this is what Jesus responded in Luke 19, verse 9. Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son. Everybody say true son. A true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. You see, he said, this is a true son of Abraham. What does he mean by that? Well, the Apostle Paul in Galatians gives us a little picture. In chapter 3, verse 7, the real children of Abraham then are those who put their faith in God. The real children are the true children of Abraham, are those who put their faith in God. So in verse 9, so all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. The real children of Abraham, those that believe upon the Lord, those that put their trust and their faith in God, those are the true sons of Abraham, and the true sons of Abraham also get the full blessing that was given to Abraham. And if you need a picture of that blessing, it's found in Genesis chapter 12, and it is an amazing blessing. It is a great blessing. It is a blessing that will go on and on and on. But the example of Abraham started with yes. The blessing of Abraham comes with yes. Before you can ever move, you must first say yes. The journey of faith starts with yes. And it's no different for Abraham than it is for us today. It's no different for the disciples than it is for us today. The journey of faith in your life to become what God has called you to be, to do what God has called you to do, to be transformed the way that God has called you to be transformed, it starts first with you saying yes. The glory is that we have free will. You don't have to say yes. God isn't going to make you say yes, but you have the choice, the opportunity to say yes. Here's number two. First, we say yes. Second, we walk away. Walk away. It says in verse 8, once again, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. You see, leaving your family, leaving everything that is familiar, that is not an easy thing to do, but it was necessary for Abraham. There was no other way for him to get where he wanted to go unless he left the place where he had always been. You see, the willingness to walk away shows up many times throughout Scripture, and it proves to be an important part of our journey. As a follower of Christ, as one who says yes, you will have to learn the habit of walking away. And I say you must learn the habit of walking away because walking away is not a one-time experience. Walking away is not something that you say a prayer and you invite God into your life, and then in that moment you just walk away from your old lifestyle. You walk away from everything that you've known. You just walk away from everything that you used to be into everything that you're going to be. No, walking away is not a one-time thing. You don't just walk away from something, you walk away from many things. You will spend a lifetime walking away from stuff, and that's why I say you must develop the habit of walking away, because you will have to walk away from bad attitudes all your life. You'll have to walk away from potential addictions all your life. You'll have to walk away from negative words all your life. You're going to have to walk away from painful memories all your life. You're going to have to walk away from sinful actions all your life. You're going to have to walk away from unproductive habits and obsessive worry. There are things all of your life, and you need to get good at walking away, because walking away from those things will help you get to the place that you need to go. And if you aren't walking away from something today, then you are missing a good opportunity. If you're not walking away from something today, you are missing a good opportunity, because every single one of us in this room, including myself, has something in our lives right now that we need to be separating ourselves from. Perfect the habit of walking away. It is part of the journey of faith. Don't just say yes. Learn to walk away. Here's the third thing. Move anyway. Move anyway. Verse 8, it continues on and it says that he went without knowing where he was going. That Abraham went without knowing where he was going. Abraham wasn't sure where he was headed to, but that did not prevent him from launching out on his journey. Hear me this morning. Many people never arrive at their final destination because of their hesitation to take the first step. Many people never arrive at their final destination because of their hesitation to take the first step. Abraham didn't have all the details figured out, but he packed up his family, he packed up his stuff, and he began the journey anyway. And this is extremely difficult, especially for the control freaks in the room. And I don't have to point you out, you know who you are. You won't have a perfect plan. The itinerary is going to be incomplete. And yet you have to move anyway. Jesus gave us these commands. He said, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. He said, go and make disciples of all nations. Go preach. Go make disciples, and you say, I'm not exactly sure how to do either. And that's why most people don't do either. I remember when I went to the University of North Carolina, I'd had a radical experience with God my senior year of high school, and I had just basically abandoned everything in my life. I was just going after God with all of my heart and his purpose and his plan, and so I had started a Bible study on the university campus, and I did not really know what I was doing. I had preached a few times and a couple chapel services at Evangel Christian Academy, and I had preached in a few little youth groups and given like a little 5 or 10 minute type of message, but I did not really know what I was doing. And so I just kind of said, hey, we're just going to meet together. And so I just kind of started a Bible study, and I said, I didn't know what to say. So I was like, well, we can at least start with Bible stories. You know, like that's where they start, like in children's church, and that's where we'll start, you know, David and Goliath and all of these very familiar stories. And I started telling these stories, and to my great surprise and delight, none of these guys knew these stories. And so I was like, this is awesome, man. David and Goliath, they've never heard it. This is fantastic. I think I can get a few Bible stories in before I really ever have to share anything else. And so I was really excited about that. And so I started doing this. But let me tell you something. Years later, I found that notebook that I had preached all those messages in. Years later, I found that notebook. And when I started reading through my notes, I had to repent before the Lord. I said, God, I'm so sorry for misrepresenting you. I'm so sorry for all of these things that I said that weren't right. They were wrong. God, I'm so sorry. But here's what happened. Today, there are people serving God full-time ministry all over the world because they got born again in that meeting. There are people today that are still in relationship with God because they got saved, they got baptized, all because of that meeting. There are people that met God right there at the University of North Carolina that had never met God before, and it was simply because I was just willing to move anyway. I didn't have all of the details. I didn't have all of the knowledge. I didn't know what it was going to look like. I didn't have all the answers to their questions, but I knew that Jesus was what everybody was looking for, and so I just said, I've got to move anyway. I don't really know how to preach, but I'm moving anyway. I don't know how to make disciples, but I'm moving anyway. And do you know what happened? I figured it out along the way. And if I was still sitting there going, well, I'm just not quite sure what to do. I'm not quite sure the direction. I'm not quite sure the plan. My map is not really clear. I don't know what I'm going to do. I believe that I would still be sitting there right now in my lifetime. Let me tell you something. You have just got to pack your stuff up and move anyway. You don't know the plan, move anyway. You don't know the answer to every question, move anyway. You don't know what it's going to look like and how it's going to feel. You just need to move anyway, because that is the key to faith. One thing is certain. You will never get there while you're still standing here. You will never get to the promise of God still standing where you are. You will never get to the place that God wants you to go standing where you are. You will never get into your destiny and your purpose standing right where you are. Make a decision to move anyway. Pack up your stuff and begin the journey of moving forward. Here's number four. Get comfortable. Get comfortable. And in parentheses, you could say, with being uncomfortable. Get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Verse 9, it says, and even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents. Being a foreigner is challenging and uncomfortable. Let me just say this. I know sometimes if you have never been a foreigner before, you can be a lot tougher on foreigners in our land. But if you have ever been a foreigner in another country, nothing will give you grace for a foreigner in our country like being a foreigner in another country. I lived in Beijing for 6 months. I speak zero Mandarin Chinese. That means I could not communicate with 99.9% of every single person living in that country. I got so great at charades. I mean, I could draw anything with my hands. And I mean, I could pose and do all kinds of stuff. I learned nonverbal communication. But I can promise you one thing. You will have compassion for the foreigner if you've ever been a foreigner. Because being on foreign soil is a difficult thing. Climate is different. Culture and customs are different. Food is different. Toilets are different, like they might not even have one. Language is different. Destiny always says when we're traveling, she says, if you prepare yourself for being as uncomfortable as possible and you just expect to be uncomfortable every day, then you're going to be okay. And that's the reality. That is the reality of being a foreigner. And that's what the Bible says about Abraham, that he was a foreigner. He was a foreigner living in this land. And let me just share with you this morning that if you really believe that the Bible is the infallible word of God, and if you believe that the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ, and if you believe that we will all stand before God to give an account for our lives, and just let me share with you, you are a foreigner. You are a foreigner in this land. You are different. You are strange. You are too old-fashioned for this present society. If you believe that sin is still sin and that sin brings consequences, then you are a foreigner in this land. And if Abraham had to get comfortable with being uncomfortable, let me just tell you, on your faith journey as we move forward in society, you need to get comfortable with being uncomfortable, because in your life and in your encounters at work and in your encounters with your children's friends, parents, and all the different people that you're going to encounter through the course of life, you will be looked at as strange, as different, as a foreigner, as somebody that other people can't relate to. Why? Because you were not created for this land. You were created for an eternal home. You were not made for this society. You were made for the kingdom of God. But that makes you a foreigner, and that makes you feel like an outcast. And so let me tell you, along your faith journey, you need to get comfortable with being uncomfortable, because the longer you live the Christian life, the more uncomfortable it will become. The more pressure you are going to feel by society. The more of an outcast you are going to feel when you watch the nightly news. You will feel like a foreigner, so you need to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. It's just the journey of faith. Number five, let me wrap up real quick. I know we're running late and we've got breakfast and there's some men out there looking very angry at me right now because I'm holding them back for the muffins. Let me just give you these last few real quick. Number five is look forward. Look forward. The Bible says in verse 10 that Abraham was confidently looking forward. Confidently looking forward. Too many people spend their time thinking about what could have been instead of what could be. Too many people spend their time thinking about what could have been instead of what could be. Looking backwards won't carry you forward any faster. You must learn what it is to look forward. Dream about being the father that you want to be. Think about all the potential that is inside of you to be the person that God has called you to be. Look forward with anticipation about how you can improve and advance and become the person that you really want to be on the inside of you. Stop looking behind you. Get your eyes on what is in front of you. Stop thinking about all of the things that could have been different and start thinking about all of the things that can be different in your future. Look forward, and when you look forward, you'll find that that's where your life is actually headed and that you can live out a different faith in your future than you lived out in your past. Look forward. Here's number six, think eternal. Verse 10, Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. Don't fill your mind with in your time with all these things that are temporal. Keep an eternal perspective about life. What really matters? Don't spend your time panicking about your paycheck and forget about the people that are around you. Don't get so caught up in pursuing the next promotion that you forget about prayer. Don't get so tangled up in bitterness that you can't live in forgiveness. You have to keep an eternal perspective all of your life. You know, they say that long-term thinking is the greatest way to long-term success. And I don't know about you, but I want long-term success. I want heavenly success. I want eternal success. And so the best way for me to get success eternally is that I think long-term today, that I don't think about all of the issues that are temporal, that I don't think about all of those issues that are just temporary in my life right now, but that I can look past all of those things and that I can begin to think eternal and I can begin to see heaven, that I can see my heavenly home, that I know where God is calling me. You see, you have to begin to think eternal. I saw this quote many years ago and it's something that has stuck with me. Do something today that your future self will thank you for. Do something today that your future self will thank you for. Do something today that your future self, when you're standing before God, do something today that future self will thank you for. Do something today that your future self, whenever you're walking on streets of gold and enjoying the luxury of heaven, do something today that person is going to thank you for. And here's number seven. Discover immeasurable. In verse 12, it says, and so a whole nation came from this one man who is as good as dead. A nation with so many people that like the stars in the sky, the sand on the seashore, there is no way to count them. You see, out of barrenness came bounty, and out of their problem came their promise. And what God wants to do in you and what God wants to do through you, it is limitless. It is incapable of being measured. I want you to know that what God has for you, it is immeasurably more than anything you could have ever asked or imagined in your life. But the only way to get to the immeasurably more, the only way to get to the sands of the seashore and the stars of the heaven, the only way to get to the place where you are getting more than you ever dreamed you could get, the only way for you to get there is to walk out the journey of faith. The only way for you to get to that place is to say yes to God, is to walk away from some things in in your life, to go ahead and move anyway, even though you don't have all the details, to get very comfortable with being uncomfortable, to look forward to what is ahead, to begin to think eternally in every situation that you find yourself. And if you will take that journey of faith, you will find yourself living a life that you never, ever dreamed possible. You will find yourself living the life that Abraham lived, receiving the promise of God. You see, God wants to put his promise in your hand. All he needs you to do is take the journey. He wants to put the promise in your hand. He wants to give you the blessing of Abraham. But all he's asking you is, are you willing to take the journey? Are you willing to live out the journey of faith? Are you willing to say yes? Are you willing to walk away? Are you willing to do the things that you need to do so that in the end you can discover the immeasurably more of God, so that you can discover his blessing, his plan, and his purpose for your life? Will you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, we're so grateful for your mercy and for your grace. God, we ask that you would be with us today. God, give us a constant reminder on this Father's Day. God, that this day just isn't to celebrate our earthly father, but God, we must also celebrate our heavenly Father. This morning, as your head is bowed and your eyes are closed, you say, Pastor Philip, I've never even began a journey of faith. Say, I've never really said yes to God. Maybe you prayed a prayer when you were 9 years old because you wanted to go to heaven, or maybe you were scared to go to hell. But you say, I've never really said yes. Because when I see the picture of Abraham, I see what yes really means. Because when you say yes, you walk away. When you say yes, you move anyway. When you say yes, you get comfortable with being uncomfortable. When you say yes, you look forward and stop dwelling in the past. When you really say yes to God, you start thinking eternal and not temporal. And when you really say yes to God, you discover the immeasurably more. You discover the blessing and the promise of God. You say, I've never really said yes to God. I've never really had a moment where I gave him my heart, I gave him my life, and I said, take control. You say, but I believe that today is that day for me. Today is the day where I want to put my life in God's hands and tell him, God, have your way. I need a fresh start. I need a brand new beginning. And today, I'm saying yes. I'm not going to have you stand. I'm not going to have you come to the front. This is just between you and God, right there where you are in your seat. If I'm talking to you this morning, you say, Pastor, that's me. Would you say a prayer for me? Would you just lift your hand right now so I know who I'm praying for? Say, I'm ready to give my heart to God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else, just slip it up. You can put it right back down. Why don't everybody, why don't we all just say this prayer? Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I need you. Thank you for your forgiveness and your grace. I declare that you are Lord and Savior of my life. I give you control. I say yes to you today. Have your way in me. Make me the person you want me to be. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, I pray that as we all continue along this journey, God, that we would all draw closer and closer to you, that we would all be more like you. God, that we would understand what it is to really live a life of faith. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise.